That's Arthi.
That's Noor.
And you're listening to The Reality Is.
I just finished watching. I'm stress eating. I'm like, I have a coffee in my hand. I needed something cold to sort of cool me down. I should have made a chai, but it's too late to drink a chai.
Oh my God. Oh God. Well, we're talking about family karma today. So I posted a disclaimer in our stories that it's just going to be us crying.
On so many things. It's not just the Amrit part. Yeah. There was other stuff in the show that moved me to my core. This episode should get an Emmy. Let's just make that declaration.
Oh my God. Yes. I think
this
that would be
episode
amazing.
Should get an Emmy because it was the most realist episode ever. Like of all the reality TV we've watched, maybe Married to Medicine came close, but this was even more real than that.
Yes, it really was. So we're talking about family karma. Now we did miss last week's episode, so we can start with that. Because last week's episode was very funny. Mm-hmm. Last week's episode was the Halloween episode. And everybody dressed as angels and demons. And Amrit really did look like poop coming out of a blackbird's butt.
I didn't quite understand when he first came with that thing. I was like, why? What is the outfit? Like the feathers is one thing. But then he's wearing a regular, they were all wearing like regular
clothes,
yeah. Formal clothes or whatever. It only made sense after they took their shirts off. And then I was like, okay.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The makeup was only till the face. Some of the makeup didn't even go to the neck. It was a low budget Halloween.
It was very low budget. Mm-hmm. Michelle only did half of his face. It was a whole thing. So this episode, last episode, we had the Halloween party, but we also got a lot more of Monica than we've gotten, I think, all season so far. So we met Monica's boyfriend's family, Rishi, mm-hmm. Rishi's family. And my notes say, ugh, I hate Monica.
There was something smarmy about Rishi's family, too. Did you feel that?
They were the smarmiest. They were like Brian's family, except smarmy. Like,
yes.
It was, but you know, and they were so smarmy that even Rishi was like, y'all are smarmy. Like, yes. He was kind of looking at them like, I don't know what you guys are doing, but this is really
he seems to be the most desi normal kid in that family, person in that family.
Yeah.
His brothers, his dad, his... It was kind of like, I don't know.
It was strange to me that Monica, who is such a goody two-shoe, would be in a two-year relationship with this guy. Which, by the way, they keep saying 2 years.
Yeah.
So, which makes me wonder, when did they film the first season? Right. Like, 100 years ago?
Yeah.
So, if it was 2 years, then it seems that maybe Monica was already dating Rishi at the time. But we just...
I think it definitely must have overlapped with finishing up shooting for the first season and her going out with Rishi.
Yeah, which might even be why they were probably annoyed with her because she wasn't being honest about like her relationship status. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Monica, like just everything she does, you know, like the boyfriend's brother was like, so what do you guys do for fun? And he's like, you know, like we just eat. She's like, no, I don't eat. I never eat. I don't eat. I don't like food. I'm like, calm down, Monica.
Yeah.
What is your problem? And then she's like, oh, they worship me like Lakshmi every time I walk in. I said, ma'am, I don't think so.
Yeah. That is very, the worship me like Lakshmi, the Bahu or this daughter-in-law is the Lakshmi. She brings prosperity to the family. It sort of goes with when you get married, you get dowry with the girl, right? Yeah. So that is where that sort of comes in. And it sometimes has negative connotations because of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Monica has just watched way too many Bollywood movies.
Yes,
she is.
Thank you.
She thinks she's living in a Bollywood movie.
That is 100% accurate. Because now we also met her mom.
Mm-hmm.
And her mom seems like the complete opposite of Monica.
Absolutely.
Her mom seems like
More like Lopa, actually.
She seemed like a young Lopa.
Yeah.
She seemed like a young Lopa.
A Lopa is going to kill you for calling her a young Lopa.
I mean, Monica's mom is what, max like 50?
Mm-hmm.
But Monica's, two things I noticed about Monica was I felt like Risha's family was more like the kind of family that the Ramchandrans would hang out with. Like Anisha's family would hang out with.
Rishi's family?
Like, they just seemed like they are always joking around with each other. They seem more chill. They seem more like they definitely were smarmy, but in terms of like the whole vibe.
Or the Brian's family. Yeah.
Or definitely Brian's family. But they seem like people who like to joke around. But so I thought it was odd that she would choose to be with somebody like that or feel at home in a family like that. But I also thought when I met Monica's mom, I realized that Monica is thirsting for a type of relationship or a type of family life that she never got to have. And much of her idea of what a good family is supposed to be is pulled from Indian movies.
Yeah, completely. And she resents she blames her mom for walking away from an unhappy marriage and spoiling the picture for her.
Yes.
The ideal mom and dad picture. I'm like, Monica, at this point in your, whatever the trauma might have been of your parents separating, you should be able to step out of that and just see how horribly mismatched your parents are. It was so evident for me that they were truly mismatched. It's a good thing that they got divorced.
Yeah. And, you know, again, I think that her mom seems like a young Lopa, probably because she's probably had to experience a lot of the same sort of isolation from the community or being treated some type of way from the community that Lopa's had to feel as a divorced woman. And Raj, Monica's dad, even alludes to that. He's like, oh, you know, I never quite felt like I fit in because everything that happened. And I was like, what happened? Tell us what happened. And it's very interesting that they're kind of tiptoeing around what happened. They say, oh, we are like oil and water. And Monica's mom said something, which was when Monica's saying how I wish that you and daddy could be in a room together and blah, 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 all that stuff. Her mom's like, oh, but you know, it's not me. Like your dad sometimes, daddy, sometimes he makes such a big deal. I mean, he can be such a and she says drama he can queen. Be such a drama queen. But the way as she's saying drama queen, she sort of mutes it to be like, I shouldn't be saying that out loud.
Yeah.
Because I think maybe it's giving something away. And then they had the high tea episode was the next one. So I want to talk about that later. But it was just very interesting to me, the dynamic with Monica and her mom, because her mom seems to be somebody who knows what she wants, and what she wanted was not Raj.
Yeah.
And she says, he's still mad at me for walking away.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, that's not what it is, blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, then what happened with them?
Yeah. One of the things that I always found weird was that typically in the Indian Desi community, not just Indian, but Desi community, divorce does not affect men at all. They can get divorced and they will always say something was wrong with the woman, and they will immediately try to set him up and all that. Men don't get affected by it. So for me, the fact that Monica's dad is affected by it and feels some sort of way to interact with the Indian community makes me think that he got dumped in a very public way. Like Monica's mom left. She seems to be very comfortable with that fact.
Yeah.
But he is not. And he's the one worried about going back into the community, and Monica is trying to make sure that he is able to assimilate back into the community. She's trying to facilitate that. I didn't see Monica's mom feel any sort of way about it. So I'm wondering if Monica's mom made that move very publicly and is actually, we don't know what her status is. Maybe she's married again. We don't know that. We don't know what her status is. She seems to be perfectly fine where she is, and he seems to be super embarrassed.
Yeah, it's very strange. It's very
what we call ulta pulta.
Oh, it's very ulta pulta. It's topsy turvy.
Topsy turvy. Ulta pulta.
Yo, that kofi looks bomb.
Mm-hmm. Malai too.
I want one. All right, well, now I'm distracted by delicious ice cream. So I just overall, I thought Monica was It's so weird. I just can't quite figure her out. Again, I just think that she's always on. And I thought it was so strange that later on they talk about when she's talking to Anisha, and we're now seeing Anisha and Monica sort of try to become civil with each other. Monica's
that
like,
"That was a funny scene again."
It was a hilarious scene because I feel so much like I am Anisha, where I'm like, yeah. I don't understand what this is. Like, I'm not going to sit here and try to make you feel like safer because you don't understand fucking sarcasm. Like, yeah. You don't understand sarcasm. And it's mm-hmm. weird. And she's like, yeah, I like hold grudges and I can't take jokes. And I just don't understand that kind of humor. And then she also says how she used to be friends with Anisha's mom. And I thought that was also interesting. Like, that you would go out of your way to become chummy with a bunch of aunties.
Yeah.
But you don't really have that much of a close relationship with your own mom.
Yeah. It's like she is looking for the perfect family unit to sort of get into. And that's what I feel like when she goes to Rishi's house. It's not even Rishi, it's so much as being part of a family unit that attracts her.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know if that's a great reason to be with a person. I mean, either. Rishi is very cute. But
in the long run, there could be issues because she's with somebody probably for the wrong reasons.
Yeah. In the long run, it could be a problem because she has expectations and sort of she's built up a scenario, a perfect place in her mind that she thinks that her relationship is going to go to. And if it doesn't go that way, then she might be very disappointed. But I did think her conversation with Anisha was hilarious. Anisha, like, genuinely doesn't give a shit.
Anisha was like, I don't hold grudges. And then Monica says, but I do. And what do you want me to do about it?
Yeah.
What do you want me to do about it? You shouldn't. And you are proudly telling me that you hold grudges and you are proud of it. And you're essentially using it as an excuse.
Yes.
Not as you're not talking about it as a fault that you need to fix. You're talking about it as an excuse.
Yeah. I just love that Anisha was like, I was having a conversation and then I was asked to come over here and talk. And then you're not even saying anything.
Yeah.
It was just all very strange. Then the other thing that happened on the last episode was that Amrit and Dylan had to sit down and talk about why Dylan was so upset. And guess what, guys? Guess what? We were right. Mm-hmm. As usual, okay? Your aunties were right.
Mm-hmm. We know our kids.
We know our kids.
I know our kids.
We know our people. We know how they function. Okay. Mm-hmm. Dylan was upset. He was triggered because he's been attacked before.
Yeah.
Okay, bingo bango. And Amrit hasn't because Amrit has not had to experience that.
Isn't that odd? It's not odd, but it's so obvious that Dylan experienced it a lot. But Amrit did not, because Amrit presents very heterosexual.
Yeah.
And so he has not experienced it. And so he's actually surprised. I was surprised how much Amrit was surprised that Dylan had experienced it.
Yeah. I mean, when Dylan said that he was just called the F word recently, and Amrit says, I've never been called that before. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, good for you. I'm really glad that you didn't. But I thought that was so interesting because almost every gay person I know has been called that before. Mm-hmm. You know, they've been called a slur, a homophobic slur before. Yeah. So it goes to show really the experience, the difference in experience when you do present a certain way. Most people started watching the show thinking that Amrit was straight and Vishal was gay.
Yes.
So it was something. I do want to point out one little problematic thing Anisha said, which is when Anisha was at the costume store with Vishal and Brian, and she said that she loves Halloween costumes, and with her ex, they used to do couples costumes, and one year, he was an Arab sheikh, and she was money, and I was like, oh.
I know.
Anisha, which, you know, guys, here's a lesson. Even brown people can be racist sometimes.
Especially against other brown people, which we love to do. We love to do that. We love to be racist and discriminatory against our own people. We love to do that.
Yeah. Now, unless Anisha's ex-boyfriend was an Arab man.
Yeah.
Which I don't believe he was. His name was like Gopal.
Vishnu.
No, Gopal,
Vishnu. Vishnu. Same Vishnu. God. Yeah. Same avatar. You got it. You got it. In the same family of God.
I knew it. Why do I know that? I'm like,
I don't know.
It's because I watch a lot of Indian movies. So, but besides that, we also had a little bit of Vishal and Richa together at home. I'm just like, She fucking hates him. I don't understand this relationship.
I don't either.
At all. And don't you think that Vishal is like consistently a little bit drunk?
I feel like he's consistently either, he's in two extremes. He's either in a very morose and depressed kind of mood.
Yeah.
Or he's hyper. Yeah. So it always feels to me that he didn't quite get the medication right. Because I feel that when I don't get my medication right. I'm not judging him. I'm just saying, you need to work and find the right chemistry.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. What else happened? I think that was it from that last episode. Mm-hmm. I did crack up when they were at when they're setting up for the Halloween party. First of all, of course, as usual, Auntie Lavina is just like so sweet. She's helping Amrit and Nicholas set up their little party. And then Amrit is like, everybody's only allowed to have one ice cube because we don't have enough ice. And then Bali comes and she's like, I'm a fucking adult and we're having Trader Joe's appetizers and a bunch of Solo cups. Like, what the hell is this? And I think this is why everybody is saying that Bali should join Real Housewives of Miami. But unfortunately, Bali is not rich.
Bali is, but what's his name is rich.
O'Malley?
O'Malley's rich.
Yeah, but then O'Malley's in Kentucky.
Oh, she'll make him move here if she becomes a Real Housewives of Miami.
Oh, yeah, that's true. She could probably sneak on as a friend of and then get her move her way in.
Right.
She's messy enough to create some
drama. She would not make a good housewife. She would make a good friend of.
Excellent.
Because she shouldn't be a housewife because I don't think her own life could be as interesting as the stirring of the pot that she could do.
Although she does seem to have a very interesting life. We find out that she's been married twice.
We knew that in the first season. She told us. She told us that.
Oh my bad.
So she's been married twice. The second one was very short lived.
Oh yes, that's right. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about this week's episode. So this week's episode, like we said, should be given every award.
Yes.
In all the books.
I just finished, and my heart was in my mouth. My heart was beating so hard. I was so apprehensive of how Nani was going to take the whole thing. So
Me too.
But also, it's not even that particular thing, right? It's the whole setup of how Amrit first told his parents, how the parents reacted to it, how the parents then sat in their car and discussed their own fears and how they were going to support each other.
It was just incredible. Like, Lavina sitting in the car and saying to her husband, is there something wrong with me? Am I not a good person that I don't feel the same excitement for Amrit that I did for Rohit?
Yeah.
That is such a real moment. And it's such a sense of understanding.
Such self-awareness from
her.
Even if you feel that, you do not talk about it. And they probably have the best marriage there is because she feels open enough to discuss it and say, okay, I need to talk this through. And he is welcoming of it. He doesn't dismiss. He's like, okay, let's talk it through. Tell me what you're feeling. And then he walks through it and helps her figure it out or find a way to get over it.
And you know, I think this is a marriage that, one, we don't really have in our culture, at least not when you have an arranged marriage, but two, I don't even think that this is a marriage that most people who are married happily do. Like,
right?
After that many years, to be able to sit and have a conversation and be honest about your own shortcomings with your spouse, especially as it relates to your child, that means that they've seen some shit and they've grown, they have really grown up together to have that conversation. And she's so sweet. I just want to hug her. Even in last week's episode, she's like cooking up protein for Nicholas. She's so cute. She's so cute. I love
her.
She's
like,
so
I'm gonna get the hiss and hiss towel. He's like, Nicholas is like, I'll take the towel, but not the hiss. Yeah, like, don't be cheesy about it.
It's so cute.
She is the cutest. She actually sort of, in some scenes today, she reminded me of my mother. And I'm like, I need to see my mom. I haven't seen my mom in over a year and a half now. Yeah. So I'm like missing her. And I'm like, I want to hug her. I know.
I am frowning. This is not a visual medium. Makes me sad. Okay, so this week the things that happen is we see Diwali celebrated in different ways in different households. Mm-hmm. The aunties and some uncles go to high tea, and obviously the big one was Amrit talks to his grandmother Nani, which means maternal grandmother for those of you listening.
By the way, so it's definitely her mother.
Yes. It's Auntie Lavina's mother. He tells her that he is gay because he wants to propose to Nicholas because that relationship is important to him. So let's start with let's just go ahead and start with the heavy stuff, man. Okay, so this conversation that Amrit has throughout the episode, right? So he pulls his mom and dad aside. He tells his mom, I'm going to propose to him. And she kind of has this look on her face like, really? You are? And he says to her, it's too real now for you, right, mom? Like, it's too real now. And she sort of starts to panic. And she's like, she says, it would just be so much easier if it was girl. It was a girl. Mm-hmm. She immediately says it.
She says it and she regrets it right away. You can tell in her face.
You can tell in her face. She's like, fuck, what have I done? And her relationship with Amrit is so good because Amrit understands where she's coming from. He's not hurt by this. He's kind of like, I know what you're saying and I get it. And I think that's also something that is really true in a lot of South Asian families. Like, you know, we've joked about getting our parents' hands imprinted on our faces because it's stopped us so hard. But we also talk about sort of how cold and sometimes closed, typically the generation of like mine and your parents are. They've been through war.
They have been through war and poverty. They have been through poverty and they have been through a lack of affection growing up. They didn't have much of affection growing up.
Yeah.
They either lost their parents very early or they grew up in, you know, other relatives' families or whatever. They grew up in poverty. There wasn't any hugging and kissing and there was no affection. So they have a hard time showing that to us because they have to learn to do that. They haven't
And so we grew up not very a lot of us grew up in not very warm homes. But despite that, there is something still that I've seen with my cousins, with my close friends, where even when you know that your parents might be closed-minded about certain things or they might not be the warmest people, when our parents say something that we know is hurtful, we also recognize that they're doing the best they can because all of it is new to them. Mm-hmm. And that's really it's really evident in Amrit's relationship with his parents and even Amrit's relationship with his Nani. Mm-hmm. He is scared of talking to her because he knows that she is probably going to say, I'm disappointed. And he says that at the end, it's always going to be, he says it's always going to be 50% happy and 50% disappointment. Oh, that broke my heart.
I know. It's like, he's like, I know it's it should be a happy occasion, but I know it's not going to be because this is something new and this is going to be hard. I do so hope that the next generation, when they announce, they don't have this to go through this.
I was watching this and you guys know I have two sons. And my mother-in-law lives in my house and my father-in-law as well. And I often think about what this conversation will look like because I have two sons. I mean, even if I had a daughter, I would have thought about this. But I do wonder because my brother-in-law is not gay, but my brother-in-law is an atheist, which is, believe it or not, just as bad when you grow up in a Muslim household. He's an atheist who's married to a white girl. So he came out, quote unquote, as an atheist to my in-laws. And that was a really, really emotional conversation. And me and my husband had to sit down and explain to my in-laws, like, your son's not a bad person. He just believes things differently than you. Mm-hmm. And he has not changed. And he's still your son. Mm-hmm. And he's a great guy. And he has a fucking PhD. And he works with kids on the autism spectrum. And like his whole life's work is making life easier for children with disabilities. Mm-hmm. You have a great son. He just doesn't follow the same religion as you.
Yeah.
But that's okay. And I remember how emotional those conversations were. So watching this conversation that Amrit is having with his nani, first of all, him talking in Sindhi, I think also really, like, it was...
It triggered... Did it trigger something for you?
Oh, with, my God.
Yes.
Hearing our language, I mean, Sindhi is not my language, but it's, you know, all derived
from similar. It's close to Hindi, so you can understand roughly what they were saying.
Totally. If there were no subtitles, I would have understood also.
Yeah, yes, yes. Because it's similar root words, so you know what they're trying to say.
But he says, you know, this boy is my love.
Yeah. He says he's my pyar.
Oh. I don't know what it was. It was hearing that. I think, like, it really triggered me, and it took me to a place because I can imagine, like...
But also the way he said it, like, he didn't say he's the boy I love. He said the boy, Nicholas is my love.
My love.
That's how he phrased it.
Yeah.
It was so beautiful.
It was so beautiful. When I watched it, I thought about how they also said all episode, there's no word for gay in Hindi.
Yeah.
There's no word for gay in Hindi. How do you explain this to a 90-year-old woman what gay is? And Bali says it really well. Bali says, you don't have to say gay. Just tell her that you love him. And then she sort of puts it into his mind, you know? And when he has this conversation and he says, that's my love, I was taken to a place where I was like, if my children have to have this conversation with their grandparents, it's probably going to go something like this. Because my kids don't really speak Urdu, but they speak, they understand all of it. They would have to break it down in a way where my in-laws could understand it, or my mom could understand it. Mm-hmm. It would have to come from a place that isn't necessarily a label like I'm gay, but a place of, I just love this person and I can't help it. This is who I love. Because the grandmother says, why not a girl? You couldn't find a girl. Mm-hmm. And the mom immediately says, it doesn't work that way. He wouldn't be happy. Mm-hmm. It would never work because he wouldn't be happy. And she keeps saying that. And Lavina keeps saying that over and over again. It wouldn't work that way, Ma. He wouldn't be happy. And I think that is really important to drive in, because by the end, Nani says, if you're happy, then I'm happy.
Yeah.
They take away the societally what's going to happen, religiously, what do we believe? They take away all of that. They stripped all of that away and they... turn the conversation to, this is your grandchild, and you should want what makes this boy happy.
Yeah.
And that's what drove it home. And it was just, it was amazing. And I sobbed
the whole
fucking time.
Me too.
And it was
Both Vishal does that, Amrit does that. And then I think in an earlier scene, somebody does that, but they touch an elder's feet. Who does that earlier?
Oh, Amrit does it. So Amrit does it. Yeah, Amrit does.
Oh, when he tells his parents.
When he tells his parents, he gets Asherad for them.
Immediately he gets his blessings. And that was very touching too, because it didn't feel contrived. It felt like this is what they do all the time. He immediately touches their feet to get their blessing multiple times. And that's his way of showing respect and saying, I respect you and I'm so, please bless me on this. So,
Can you explain a little bit of why they touch the feet? Because I think that would be good for our listeners to understand. Because I know, because I watch Bollywood movies.
Yeah, but touching the feet is that feet are technically the lowest part of our body, right? So it's like they are the closest to the ground, and I am touching your feet because I'm prostrating. And typically, you would not even just touch your feet. The actual way of doing it is to actually prostrate and fall at the feet and just, you know, completely prostrate at the feet. It shows complete supplication to the elders and to God. You do that in temples and you do that to God. And you do also do that to elders to get their blessing. And typically when you do that, most elders will stop you from going all the way down. And they'll say, no, don't touch my feet because that's, you know, feet is degrading. Don't degrade yourself. I understand you. Respect me. So it's basically showing complete respect for your elders. And we do that to teachers, to parents and elders, and to God. Those are the three groups. And teachers are higher than God and elders, by the way.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. Guru, that's the prayer that you might have heard in movies. Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu.
Oh, I have.
Yeah, so it's Guru is Vishnu, Guru is Brahma, Guru is Shiva, Guru is over God, Guru is teacher. Guru means teacher, but basically that prayer says that Guru is above all God.
Wow.
Yeah. Anybody who imparts knowledge is above God. So you don't even have to pray to God if you pray to a teacher.
Interesting.
Hindu philosophy also says anybody can be a teacher. Because anybody that you learn from is a teacher.
So, listeners, if you've learned a thing or two from us, feel free to touch our feet and ask for our
blessing. Or send us what is called Guru Dakshina, which is teacher's fees, basically, which is a Patreon. Basically, it's like a dollar or two in Patreon. Guru Dakshina.
Can I just say?
I haven't even set up Patreon. We keep asking for Patreon dollars, but we haven't even set it up.
We've mentioned our Patreon almost every episode for like the last six episodes, and guess what, guys, I haven't set it up yet. If you're interested, it is going to Patreon be patreon.com
just wishes
the reality just, is podcast,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, just wishes, your good wishes, that can be good enough,
I guess. Good wishes don't buy me any coffee, but all right. Yes, it was a couple of things. It was a talking in Sindhi. It was a getting a blessing or ashirvad. It was that. It was just the real connection you saw between the three people, right? Between Amrit and his parents, and how his dad just keeps saying, "I'm going to back you up, my son. I'm going to back you up. Remember, I always have your back. I always have your back." And he really, really does. And you can tell that Amrit's dad probably has his own thoughts about many, many things. Mm-hmm. But he almost, in a very uncle way, because he's kind of closed, he really does a great job of saying, like, my one job is to support my son, and that's all I'm here to do.
Yeah.
And Lavina gets really worked up, and she gets so emotional, but he does the same thing with his wife, right? Like, I'm only here to support my wife. It's my one job, and
that's
I'm
what
do
I
that
signed
really
up
well.
For, he says.
Is what, yes.
The fact that she hugged, she said, thank you. She, like, spontaneously says, thank you. By the way, thank you for taking care of me these past couple of days, because I've been very nervous and it's been so nerve-wracking for me. And he says, that's what I signed up for.
Ugh.
Every one of those little conversations was like a tug at my heart. I was like, I want to be like you guys. That's a perfect
word. Yeah, like, that's the goal. And I think you mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. Oh, right. We were on Mandy's podcast, Is This Real Life? And you mentioned it on there that a lot of what we're seeing the kids go through, even though the kids are more our generation, what Arthi and I are doing right now is, at least as parents, we're actually probably more like Amrit's parents or Vishal's parents, because we're immigrants. Our children are first generation. So what we're doing, what Arthi and I have to do often, is make the decisions and show the support and sort of block the bullshit from our kids. That's where you and I are. And that's that's also why I love watching the aunties and uncles on the show, because I actually relate to them the most. Like, I'm not getting dressed up and going to a rooftop to a Halloween party.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to high tea, though.
Yes. Right?
Oh, so, I wrote this down. Can I tell you something? Okay. Dharma and Chitra, together in their confessionals?
Yes.
Remind me of me and you.
Who's who? Who's watching the Cuban show about castration? About castration. That would be you.
No, I was going to say that would be you. No, because Chitra also, she always has a great explanation for something. And you know, Dharma's just sort of like giggling on the side. And I was like, hey, it's me and Arthi.
She was like, Chitra was so funny. She's like, no, I'm watching the castrado. She just throws the men on the floor and then shoots their balls off. I was like, what show is she watching?
She's watching telenovelas, obviously. I love that.
Then she has a Cuban person, and the fact that she was standing on the landing listening into
it was
Brian
so...
and Anisha talk about Aang, then she comes down right away and she's like, you're doing it wrong.
You know, and I just love that she announces herself too. She's like, you're doing it wrong and I heard you because I'm always eavesdropping.
She's literally standing there with the hands crossed.
Oh, she's the best. Oh, she's so good. So the aunties and some uncles go to high tea. Let's talk about the setup here. Uh-huh. Do you think that the uncles were invited so that Raj could come?
Yeah. I think they're trying to include Raj and they know that it would look awkward with just him there. So they invited the uncles.
Also, they're having very baited conversations.
Yes.
They're like, it's okay to be gay. Anyway, it's also okay to be divorced. Hey, Raj, you're divorced. Who are you dating? I'm like, come on. You guys have like, no subtlety at all.
It wasn't smooth. It wasn't smooth. You just went from, it was like a straight line from gay to divorced to who are you dating? It was quite a straight line there.
Oh, man. I also liked when Dharma, I like when anybody speaks their language. I love that Dharma always says, nay, nay, huh? And then she says, hamare naseeb mein Monica. There's only Monicas in our destiny. I was like, oh, I love you. I love Dharma.
And Reshma keeps quiet. And Reshma, this is the next tea. And Reshma is super quiet, sitting in the corner, never spoke a word. That was odd.
It was so weird. Reshma had all this to say in the beginning of the show. Mm-hmm. Now she's like, I wash my hands clean and I'm just going to show up. I'm going to sit there and I'm not going to say anything. It's very strange.
Yeah. And I like that Anisha went through all the couples who would get married and she married her unicorn before before Richa married Vishal. She was who did I forget? Oh, yeah. Richa and Vishal. She also forgot Bali.
Okay. That's true. I also liked how Kalpana comes with her container of pickled masala. Now, what do you think that is? Do you think that's
she's Gujur, right? So she has the garlic and I have it. I'll show it to you. Garlic and red chili ground up. So it's garlic and red chili ground up into masala.
Okay.
And you put it, Gujus put it on everything. That shit goes on everything.
Yeah, it looked delicious.
It is awesome. And you get it in the Indian store. I just got myself a bottle and I've been sprinkling it on everything, including pasta.
Are you going to bring it to DC so we can put it on cheese fondue?
Sure. Oh my God. Awesome. That would be awesome. So ooh, cheese with that. Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
It's either, so they do that and then they do the green chili instant pickle with green chilies in mustard oil.
Yeah.
That usually is always on their table too. So they you can eat it. So in a Gujju house, you have those. You have the dry garlic chili masala and then the wet green chili. And then you have gud. You have jaggery.
A little bit of sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we found out through the Diwali celebrations that, again, Aarti and I were right about where all these people are actually from. Their families. Because the Ramchandras are definitely South Indian.
They are South Indian. They speak Tamil.
Yes.
Which is my language. So I was not sure whose father was grandpa, but it's Chitra's father. So Chitra doesn't feel like a South Indian to me. Like Chitra doesn't, but Chitra's mother does. Chitra's mother looks very South Indian. Chitra doesn't for some reason. I don't know. She also said Nanama or Amama for her grandmother. Anisha called her grandmother Amama, which is actually Telugu, not Tamil. So I'm wondering if one of them is Telugu and one of them is Tamil.
Oh,
so,
there you go.
Yeah. So a lot of clues there.
A lot of clues, but definitely South Indian.
Mm-hmm.
They look South Indian. They look like gorgeous, tall, South Indian people. That's what they look like.
They do look South Indian. Also, Grandpa writing her an email saying, Dear Chitra, and signing it off with an attachment of the sandwich.
Wendy's chicken, spicy chicken sandwich.
That is very much how my father would write me emails and letters. When I was in India, he would write me handwritten letters. And when I'm here, he has been writing email. He used to write me emails. It would always follow a very formal letter writing style with dear so-and-so and then sincerely or cheerfully or kindly or whatever the signature was. Usually it was sincerely. And then sincerely, appa.
Appa. You want to know what my dad does?
Yeah.
Or did? So my dad also very formal. would sign all of his emails, even to us, Daddy Shamim, New Jersey. Like, we live with you. You don't need to do that. And then it was to the point where when he was using Facebook, like, and he stopped, unfortunately, like 2 years ago, but when he was using Facebook, he would sign off all of his
Comments. With the signature. My uncles still do that. They will like randomly, they will write to me, like I will comment on something they post, and then they'll start a whole thread about how are you doing and what is happening, and then like, here's my number, phone number, call me. I'm like, don't post your phone number on Facebook. What are you doing?
Yeah, my dad always would write, even on Facebook, if I posted a picture, he would be like, you look great, beta, love, Daddy Shamim, NJ. I'm like, bro. And then for a while he used to actually put the town that they were living in, so for a little while, they lived in Randolph, New Jersey. So he used to Randolph, and then they moved to Morris Plains. So it's like Morris Plains. By the way, Randolph and Morris Plains are like 3 miles apart. You don't. Also, you're my dad. You don't need to tell me where you live in on a Facebook post.
Oh, but my father would actually have this. You know how in a formal letter you have the subject line, topic. And then you have your start. Like, so memo. He would have it, and it would be properly aligned and everything, and he would send it to me, and it would be something stupid like, you know, can you send me this document over the next month or so, I need it for some bank issue or whatever. But he would formulate the email, and it would be very formal, even if it was like completely just a two line, it would have all the parts of letter writing that he learned from his British teacher.
Yes.
Before India got independence.
That's 100% accurate. I was going to say, they went to like a typewriter class.
Yes. They did. That was the first thing. That was a huge accomplishment for them to be able to do typewriting and get that certificate. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Your dad, my dad, and Gopal, grandpa, all are at the same typewriting. They signed up for the same course. Also, definitely, yes, the Kapais, Vishal's family, and Bali's family are all Sindhi.
Sindhis, yes.
For sure. They look Sindhi also.
They also look Sindhi. Yeah. They
have Which is like, I'm sure people who are listening are like, they all look like Indian people to us. But no. We can tell. It's like, you can tell Monica has like the most Gujarati face ever. Oh,
Monica's dad has a very specific Gujarati face. Monica's dad, if you look at Monica's dad and if you look at Brian's mom, they both have Guju faces. They have the thin lips. The thin lips. The round face, the cute round face and the thin lips.
Yeah.
And my mom used to call those lips money purse. So it's like a money purse that you tighten and it becomes tiny. So that she used to call it like money purse smile. That's like they have beautiful money purse smile. That's what my mother used to call Guju. Gujus have the pretty mouth.
We also saw Monica Shah a little bit this episode, and she's putting the pressure on Brian. Now, Brian,
he's going to fuck it up.
He's going to fuck it up. He's 100% going to fuck it up.
He's too much into his own head about not being a doctor and feeling inferior for no fucking reason. Marry the woman and you will live a good life.
Brian, you might not be a doctor, but you're on a reality TV show.
Also, you are so not ever going to be a doctor.
No, nobody would ever even think that you would be a doctor.
You're the party kid. You don't have to be a doctor. You make enough money.
You don't have to be a doctor. God. She's not with you because she's probably with you because you're not a doctor.
Exactly.
You're available a lot more than a doctor would be.
Mm-hmm.
And also because you're very handsome.
Yes.
Stop messing
with into it. Yeah. Why are you feeling so insecure all of a sudden?
Mm-hmm.
Don't fuck it up, Brian. Don't fuck it up.
Don't fuck it up.
Yeah.
What else? That was it. That's all I wrote down, I think.
Everything was so good.
It was just a perfect episode.
Oh, it was such a perfect episode. The 5 days of Diwali.
Oh, yeah. The 5 days of Diwali. I even liked when Amrit pulls Richa aside and tells her that he's going to ask Nicholas to propose, and Richa acts surprised, and then Vishal tells later that he had already told Richa, but Richa faked it anyway. And then they all get so excited that, and of course, Vishal has to be like, Nicholas, really loud.
I loved Nicholas's reaction too in the end when they called him.
Yes.
He was like, Nani loves me, and he was so happy.
And Amrita like, you didn't win Miss World. Why are you so excited?
Amrita is so this is the part about Amrita that confuses me. He is so likable when he's talking to his family.
Yes.
His family makes him so likable.
Yes.
But then when he's just by himself and with the other kids and mm-hmm. he's just being messy, I get annoyed with him.
100%.
Why can't you be who you are with your parents 100% of the time? That's so much, such a nicer person.
Yeah. And it seems like he is even that person when he's with Nicholas.
Yeah.
But when he's with like these young rascals like Dylan, he's like talking about threesomes and stuff. I'm like, stop it.
Yeah.
You're a nice lawyer brown boy. Like, knock it off.
Yeah.
I do like Amrit a lot more in other scenes. Yes. This was an excellent Amrit episode. And very exciting. Amrit got to be on Watch What Happens Live.
Yes.
And Nicholas got to be the bartender.
That was awesome. Yeah.
He got to be on with Garcelle.
I know.
That is amazing.
Do you know who would have actually appreciated even more? Dylan.
Yeah.
The fact that it was an episode with Garcelle.
I know. Dylan would have loved it.
Next time, Dylan. Next time. Soon.
Yeah, next time for sure. But you know, now that the show is getting so much attention, I hope they get a reunion.
I hope they do. I hope. And again, I have to reiterate, this episode was so well done, well filmed. It was so real. It was so authentic. And it was so heartbreaking and heartwarming at the same time. It was the perfect real reality episode ever. So this is what reality shows should aspire to.
Yeah.
Like making that, pulling the audience in to the point where you are rooting for people and you're so interested in their lives and want good for them.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. This should be nominated for Emmy.
Yes, 100%.
Let's put it out in the universe.
We're putting it into the universe.
Yes.
Family Karma gets nominated for an Emmy. Could you imagine that's like the only show that wins a Bravo Emmy? Because I fucking Watch What Happens Live, which
right.
I don't know if that even counts.
But it would deserve it because, I mean, if Watch What Happens Live can win it, anybody can win it.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. All right. Well, that's it for the Family Karma episode. Tomorrow, tune in and we'll talk about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and Real Housewives of New York. Yeah.